Hello, everybody. Jerry Pippin back here at the Cover Up Cafe, right down the street from the UFO Museum. Jesse Marcel Jr. is here with us. The last time I talked to you personally, you emailed me from Iraq. How long you been back?
I came back in November of 2005, and Thanksgiving Day.
So anyway, we want to thank you right up front for your service to the country.
I appreciate that.
You've been in the Army how long?
More years than I want to think about.
Maybe I shouldn't ask that question.
About 30 or 35 years.
Well, I was in the Army 3 years.
Okay, there you go. It all counts.
I looked at your book a little bit today. I glanced at it. I was busy doing interviews, so I didn't get a chance to read it. But the guy said, yeah, I bought this, and Jesse signed it for me. And tell me a little bit about that book and what brought it about.
Well, you know, I wanted to get my dad's story cleared, you know, to show that his credentials were correct, that he really knew what he's talking about. So the book basically is based on clearing the air about my dad's training and his ability to distinguish flying saucer debris from a Mogul balloon or radar target debris.
What do you make of this? This is the story that's out right now that your father brought the real stuff up to the general and they substituted with a weather balloon. Did he ever say anything like that to you? You talk to me about it?
Well, you know, he did swing by the house on his way to the airbase with the debris. And that's where I and my mother saw the debris. And looked at it. It's very strange material. And I didn't really know what it was at that time, but he was then ordered to bring the debris up to...
You were young at that time.
Yeah, I was 11 years old, but old enough to know what I was looking at.
Well, sure.
And my mind was like a sponge soaking up all kind of information.
Yeah.
And he brought the debris to Fort Worth Army Air Force Air Base for the inspection by General Ramey. And I did see a picture taken of him holding some debris in General Ramey's floor. I did not see that picture for years and years. But looking at the picture, he's got this strange look on his face, like, you're kidding me. And he's holding up a very typical Rawlin radar target, which is definitely not what we saw in Roswell.
Right. Now what can you tell our audience, about your dad and his military service? He really didn't talk about it. I guess the Stanton Friedman ran across him. Is that true?
That's correct, you know. He was ordered not to talk about this at the get-go. As a matter of fact, he came home, and after he came back from Fort Worth, sat my mother and myself down and said, don't ever talk about this again. Non-event, didn't happen, so you can't talk about it. And that's the way it was for years. Even in the family, we didn't really discuss this, although in the back of our minds, we knew what it was.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything that we built.
Right. Now, how about you? You went into the military later. You're a trauma doctor, correct?
Yeah, a flight surgeon.
Flight surgeon, okay.
Yeah. I was a flight surgeon with the Army Medical Corps.
You've seen a lot of action, a lot of duty and everything. What am I asking about is, anybody in the military ever say, hey, don't tell anything that your father said, or did it ever come up, or did anybody even know about it?
Well, they as years went on, the story gradually came out, and some
of you probably didn't tell them right off the bat.
No, they asked me before I would tell them. I spent many hours in the cockpit of a helicopter, and during the boring parts of the flight, the conversation would come around to, what did I see in Roswell? And I would go over the story again, and they're very interested. As a matter of fact, I've had flag rank officers ask me about this, because they're quite interested also. But there was never any recrimination or any hindrance to my military career because of this.
Now, 60 years, and this story's still alive, going strong, and we're just getting new revelations all the time. When you wrote this book, did you basically just wanted to set the record straight, or is there something in there that hasn't been told before?
Well, you know, basically I wanted to let people know about my feelings, my mother's feelings, my dad's feelings, and again, the accreditation of my father.
I like human interest stories, and how did your mother feel about all this?
Well, she was kind of closed-mouthed, too, because we were told not to talk about that.
Uh-huh.
But every now and then, we would talk a little bit about what really happened there. And the book also contains information about the newest concept of space travel. So there's a lot of science involved with this thing, too.
Yeah, you've been pretty active in at least looking at things.
Well, this what that experience in Roswell did so many years ago engendered my interest in astronomy and cosmology, because I realized at that time we're not the only ones out there, but we have cousins. We have cousins out there, too.
Right.
And they're smarter than we are, because they can get here from wherever they come from.
And you've really probably never wavered from that idea, or did you ever have doubts?
I never had doubts.
Yeah, you were there when he brought it on.
Yeah.
And you knew your dad very well, so you probably didn't try to disguise much.
As a flight surgeon, I have training in aviation accident investigation.
Uh-huh.
And I've been on some aircraft investigation accidents, but nothing like this was ever seen by me. You know, it just is something totally different. So this is about ours.
Okay, you're back in Roswell here. I know a couple of years ago, before you went back to Iraq, maybe it's 3 years ago, you were home on leave, right? I think you came by here.
Yeah, I did. In July of 2005.
I was trying to get an interview with you, but you were really busy, and you were only here for a couple of days.
Yeah, well, I had 2 weeks leave from Iraq at that time, so I flew home, came here to see what the place looks like.
And so what's your feeling about all of the... I guess PR about Roswell. I personally, before you even answered, Jesse, I think really there may be a downside to it, but the upside is it acquaints everybody with the idea.
Yeah, it does. You know, I'm not sure I'd like all the hoopla and fireworks about this thing, because I think it detracts a little bit from the real meaning of what happened there. And that would be my only criticism, but actually I think it's a good thing, too. Certainly been good for Roswell.
It certainly has. Yeah. Even the street signs have little ETs on them.
Yeah, right.
You saw no photos, or your dad never mentioned the extraterrestrials?
Yeah, I'm not sure he ever saw those, although some people will put him at the site where the bodies were, but... I think if he'd really seen those, he would have told me.
Yeah.
But he never mentioned that at all. So.
Now he was a, intelligence officer?
He was an intelligence officer for the 509th Bomb Group. So these are all handpicked guys for their training and their abilities.
Yeah, this was a very elite place.
Oh, very elite, because that's the Atomic Bomb Group
that
dropped the bomb in Japan.
Now, I think some people in Fort Worth that were higher-ranking officers stayed in touch with your dad all of his life.
Well, maybe so.
I've heard rumors about that. I don't know.
I'm not privy to that information.
Yeah, you don't know either.
I don't know, but I'm not privy to that.
Yeah. Have you had anybody question you of an official nature about what you remember in this 11-year-old? That you can talk about?
Well, there's one instance that I can't mention names, or will not mention names.
Yeah, I understand that.
Where I was, I went into Washington, D.C. and had a meeting with an individual who identified himself as being part of the National Security Council. And we had a meeting in an underground room there under the Capitol building. And when we walked in on this, where this big meeting room was, there was a book on the desk about Roswell. He pointed to that book and said, "This is not fiction." And I said, "I know it's not fiction." So he asked me, "Well, what do you know about this? Tell me all everything you know." So I went ahead and I told him what I saw, what I knew. And I said, "When are you guys going to tell everybody?" If it's up to him, he would have said anytime, but it was not up to him.
Not really. So that happens when you compartmentalize anyway.
Yeah,
a lot of people would like to talk more, and they don't know them, and they have natural curiosity.
Exactly.
And so that makes it probably difficult to figure out who's on an official assignment and who's just curious.
Yeah. So that was first and only time anybody in the government confided with me that this is not fiction.
And you said, yeah,
right.
You're right.
Yep, not fiction.
So. What's happening in your life these days? Do you live up in Montana somewhere?
Yeah, we're in Helena, Montana. I work full-time at the VA hospital at Fort Harrison.
Uh-huh.
I have a clinic there in ear, nose, and throat disease, which is my specialty.
Yeah.
And I'm enjoying it up there.
Sure. You've had a nice, full career, and you're still at it, and I honor you for that.
Well, I'd like to retire.
You're probably like me, old guy, and I just don't want to stop.
Yeah, like an old horse, you don't dare stop. You stop, you die. You know, you can't stop. Right. You got to keep going.
Old habits are hard to break.
You bet.
So, anything that you'd like to bring out to our listeners, Jesse, before I let you go, that you think's important that people?
Well, okay. People ask me, well, what did this do to your religious feelings? So,
okay.
And I'm a Roman Catholic, and I'm proud to say that. And I would say that if anything, this increased my faith in God, because that means that God is bigger than we thought He was, and He created this whole universe. And if we're the only ones here, there's a lot of wasted space. So there are others out there, too.
Yeah, I've often wondered about these people who say, well, that shakes my religion, and I don't quite understand that at all.
Yeah,
it kind of enforces it.
It reinforces my religion, my religious faith.
Well, Jesse, appreciate you coming by and talking to us tonight. And the book, let's give it a plug here.
Okay, the book is The Roswell Legacy. And if people want to see more about the book, they can go to the website, MarcelJr., that's JR.com, or TheRoswellLegacy.com. And there's a picture of the book with information on ordering it.
Now, we before we leave here, we have a link to that, by the way, so people can also get to it from our website. Nice enough to come do an interview. That's the least we can do.
Well, I appreciate that.
Before you leave, I mentioned Italy, and you were over there with your good friend, Paula Harris.
Paula Harris, yes.
And she's quite a lady.
Yes, she is.
how is it? And you were in Iraq. So how is the attitude in the rest of the world about UFOs?
Well, in Italy, they seem
from your experience.
In Italy, they seem to be quite interested, because in Rome, they had this big meeting with a lot of people who want to know all we knew about UFOs. In Iraq, you know, they're too busy fighting.
Too busy trying to stay alive.
Trying to stay alive at that time. So
right. But do you think there'll ever be an official disclosure?
I think there will be. There has to be. My only hope is that it'll happen during my lifetime. But even if it doesn't, I already know what it was.
Yeah, you were there.
I was there.
Thank you very much, Jesse Marcel, everybody.
Well, Jerry, thank you. Appreciate that.
We'll be back in a moment.
Hey, appreciate it.
The biggest secret ever is about to be revealed. Fast Walkers, UFO and Alien Disclosure.
Words you were never meant to hear.
It's clear we're dealing with a cosmic Watergate.
This is the biggest secret in the history of the human race, the known modern history of government.
Photos you were never meant to see. Video you never knew existed. People you were never meant to meet.
As Jack Nicholson would say, you can't handle the truth.
Essentially everything that you would want to know has been covered up.
Things you were never meant to know about.
No one has produced a higher quality, better produced DVD. Anytime, anywhere. Fast Walkers, now available on DVD for only $19.95 at ShopJerryPippin.com.
One of the great things about doing shows like here at the Cover Up Cafe is where you get to meet the public, and of course Roswell, people come from everywhere. We just talked to a man from Georgia who rode a Greyhound bus out here. You're from Texas, right?
Yeah.
Where in Texas?
Odessa.
Odessa, and this is your wife?
This is my wife.
And your name?
Stanley Wilson and Judy Wilson.
Yeah, Judy, say something so we know he really is here with his wife.
Yeah, he goes everywhere with me.
you had an incident.
Yes, in 1973, and it was in the summer. It was daylight. I had worked for the State Highway Department maintenance, and I had come home and took a nap. I was real tired that day, and I went to sleep.
Uh-huh.
And my grandma, which is my daddy's mama, she called. My wife answered the phone, and she said, "Tell Stanley to wake up." She lived in the actual city of Odessa, but in the western part. And she said, "Tell Stanley to wake up and look. There's a UFO coming y'all's way." We lived out west of Odessa.
Okay.
Out in the boondocks. Not much population. This is 1973. Well, my wife woke me up. And she said, your grandma called and said to get up, there's a UFO coming our way. So I got up, sat on the bed a minute, and I said, grandma, don't tease.
Yeah.
She's real serious. She was a businesswoman, real estate.
Uh-huh.
I said, maybe I better go look. So I got up, went out and looked back toward town, and didn't see anything. Looked south, didn't see anything. Looked north, didn't see anything. But when I looked west, there's a radio tower just about 1 mile from our house. A UFO sitting over it, just like that. Of course, y'all can't see it on the
radio,
but he can. It was a UFO.
It was hovering.
Right. And it was built just curvature on top, flat bottom, looked like stainless steel, no noise, no rotation.
It was just there.
Just there. And it was probably as big as a two-story house. She saw it.
Yes.
My big sister lived two streets over. Her and her husband come flying around the corner, hollering out their window. Do y'all see it? Do y'all see it? Do y'all see it? Of course, we see it. They flew up in the yard. We all stood there and watched it in amazement. And I got in my wife's 65 Malibu and start turning the radio on. I said, that looked like a radio tower to me. And I flipped through the channels, and we found KBZB radio station. And they were reporting that they had static on their radio tower. And I called. I went and looked up the number. This is back, you know, when you had a regular phone.
Right.
I went in the house and looked up that number, and I got that disc jockey. And I said, the UFO that y'all are talking about that's causing static, we're looking at it. So we talked a little bit. Of course, that's 36 years ago or something. I don't remember exactly what we said. While it was on the radio, I mean, she and my brother-in-law and big sister were outside listening to me talk to him in the house. And then we all, of course, went back out and looked at it. And me and Jim, that's my brother-in-law, we decided to go get to the radio tower. So them two stayed in the yard and watched it. Well, I ran to my neighbor's house real quick, too, to try to get a camera. We didn't have one. They weren't home, and there weren't many houses out there, so we didn't have a camera. But anyway, me and Jim decided to go around on 42nd Street, which is our main street out west of town, close to the radio tower. We worked our way around there. It took about 15 minutes because we took a little roads trying to figure out how to get to it, and finally realized we had to go to the main road, go back to it. We went, you know how you got them little dirt roads that go to a radio tower? That's what it was. We went to the very beginning of that road, and me and Jim decided we wasn't going to drive under that.
It was just hovering there
just
over this radio
there,
tower.
I was within probably a half a mile.
Could you hear anything?
No. There was no noise. They looked like stainless steel. This is in the daytime. That UFO, from the time we spotted it till it went away, probably a good hour, in the daylight, no storms, clear day, summer. And me and Jim sit there and watched it. And, of course, I don't remember what we said because it's too many years ago. I don't exactly.
Yeah.
Finally, that UFO drifted off of that radio tower, went to the north, made a 90-degree turn, and drifted back to the west, went out of sight. So me and him drove back home, and they quit telling about it on the radio. So I called that disc jockey up. I said, hey, man, I'm the one that was talking to you a little bit ago about that UFO. I said, what happened? Why did you quit telling about that? And he said, because the government told us to shut it down or we're going to lose our license.
Wow.
And I said, is there anything else you can tell me about it? And he said, well, I can tell you this. Our electrician went out there to find out what was causing the static. And he said he got under it, and he said there was hieroglyphics on the bottom of the UFO. Now, I didn't see the bottom of it. I was about a half mile away. I could see the edge and over. But I can tell you this, I didn't see any doors. It looked as though it had been cast. I didn't see any seams, no lights. Perfectly silent, no rotation. It just went away and drifted off. But this ain't one of these things you see on TV, just a light in the sky, you know, or at night. This is daylight.
This in the daylight, you can see the whole thing.
Yes, and this is a good hour. And my grandma saw it, she saw it, my wife, and my big sister saw it, my brother-in-law saw it, I saw it, the radio technician, electrician saw it, I don't know who he is. And then about 2 weeks later, I called back one more time, and I got that disc jockey again. And I said, hey, man, is there anything else you can tell me? He said, well, I think he told me Channel 7, which was a TV station.
Yeah.
And he said on West University, which is another main road out west of Odessa, he said they took some pictures of UFOs at night above the lights out there. And he said they were going to show them, and the government also told them, you shut it down or you will lose your license. And he said, I don't want to talk about this anymore because I'm afraid I'll lose my job and I'll get in trouble. And this report I gave to UFOEvidence.org. So if anybody wants to see it, you look under the decades of the 70s, 1973, Stanley Wilson. And she's got her report there, and my big sister wrote a report too. My big sister, she thinks it's of the devil, so she really didn't want to do it. And I said, you're going to back me up. You're going to tell what you saw. The only difference in my story and her story and my big sister thought she remembered it dashing off, but it didn't. It was over the retired and just went out to the north and drifted, which my wife said that's
what happened. Yeah, Judy, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. When, and
where we watched it, they watched it when it left. My brother-in-law and Stanley watched it from closer to it than we were. But we did see it start off slowly and then make like just a 90-degree turn. And there was no curvature. It was just an instant, I'm going this way, bam, I'm going that way.
Right.
And it was gone. It just went off the other way.
Could you make out the strange writing? The hieroglyphics?
No, we couldn't see that from where we were.
Neither one of you.
No, radio technician saw that.
We could just see the shape and the size of it and just, you know, how it just seemed to be floating.
But this was a monster UFO. I mean, we're probably, I can't swear it. You know, I said on my report that it was like 150 feet. Well, when I wrote that report, I was living in Austin. I've moved back to Odessa now, and I rode out to that radio tower the other day, and my daddy told my nephew, and he's dead now, but he told my nephew, he said, every one of those colors on a radio tower is 50 feet. Well, I didn't know that when I told it. Well, I rode out there and counted them.
That's probably right.
So it's 50 feet, and I counted them. It's 350 feet to the top of that UFO. So that part I had wrong in my report. I said 150, just, you know, wild guess. I didn't know how tall a radio tower was.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure it's 50 feet, but that's...
That's what my dad said.
I've been in radio all my life. I should know that, but I don't I don't go out to the tower. You know, you still talk about this like it was yesterday. It made an impression.
I wasn't interested in UFOs at all. But the day that happened, yes. Now, that's why I'm in Roswell, because I'm interested. I know there's people here that have seen them, and I like the people that haven't seen them to know that they're real. You know, I mean, I don't know what else to say other than I can relay my story, because it excites me now, because I did see. Yeah, it's like yesterday, even though it was 36, 37 years ago. Well, I mean, how many people get to see a UFO for an hour in the daylight, you know, and everybody's always coming against you? Well, that's just a light or that's a balloon. No, man, this was a UFO, unidentified flying object. You want to give me truth serum? Go ahead. You want to give me a lie detector? I don't care.
And I believe you. Hey, thank you very much, both of you. Thank you very much. Thanks for coming. If you hear the show after the Cover-Up Cafe Roswell 60th anniversary, never fear. The cafe is here. It's open. Roswell and the legend lives on. Until next time, this is Jerry Pepin. Cheers.
The year was 1970 when Jack Blanchard and Misty Morgan released their first big single hit, Tennessee Birdwalk. For the first time in the history of music, this 45 RPM single becomes available to the public in the form of a mouse pad. Made of high-quality quarter-inch rubber, this fabric-covered 8-inch mouse pad delivers your mouse a very smooth ride. For only $9.95 plus $2.50 shipping and handling, your mouse pad will be rushed via USPS first-class mail. Simply click on the happy little mice and be directed to our ordering page. Hurry while this limited time offer lasts.